This is politicians speaking who, of course, have more than a weather eye to the next general election, but they've just signed off and produced a defence review. And I think anybody who studied this in any detail who realises the resources available, that strategic defence review, in my opinion, is actually a really good bit of work. I mean, there are a few bits missing, but there is no way you're going to get that defence review for 2.7% in 2 years' time, or 3% by 2034. If it's going to be funded in totality, it's going to be much more to 3.5%. I understand that the challenges that the politicians have got, but the stark reality is the threats overmatch the current deterrence that we have. And remember when Putin looked west on the 24th of February 2022, he didn't see a credible conventional deterrence that would put him off. And that's why he invaded. And until we show him a credible conventional deterrence, nobody thinks he's going to stop at Ukraine.
Now, people always speak, and I've just done it, on percentages of GDP, which I think to many people, unless they're nerds like me, is kind of meaningless. So let me flesh this out a little bit and get your reaction. 2.5% of our current GDP is 70 billion. 3.5% is 100 billion. So even at just today's prices for the GDP, that's a £30 billion a year increase in defence. And of course, if and when we ever come to do it, it'll be more because of inflation and the GDP will be bigger than it is now, we hope. Even that simple calculation, though, suggests that you cannot get that increase in defence spending without a tax increase.
Well, again, you're far more a financial expert than I am, but I do understand, you know, this is a huge figure. And unfortunately, you know, we have led our own destiny to, in effect, towards it with, you know, the rest of NATO. And as we so clearly now know that our you know, the backstop of NATO security, the US, is no longer reliable in that particular case.
That's therefore, the big change, isn't it? That's the big change.
Well, absolutely. We always assume that Uncle Sam would come steaming over the Atlantic to save us. Now, that is clearly... Well, certainly that's the indication the White House is giving. You know, whether actually when crash comes to bang, that's the case, we don't know. But we must plan on what we know at this moment. And we know at this moment that we need to increase our conventional deterrence. And I would also argue we need to relook at our nuclear deterrence, because that's in balance at the moment, and that's a bit of a concern. But yeah, I understand people are really concerned, and those people are struggling to, you know, heat and feed themselves. This seems like a hell of a lot of money on something that's very far away. But actually, money spent on hard power now, because we have neglected our hard power, will actually, I think, save in the longer term. Because, you know, Sun Tzu, the great Chinese philosopher, said the art of warfare is to win without fighting.
Indeed.
The only way you can do that is by showing strength to a tyrant like Putin that he doesn't want to come up against.
Well, we spent 3% of our GDP on defence in 1937 when Nazi Germany was on manoeuvres. And that was clearly not enough, and we armed belatedly. By 1940, we were spending 52% of our GDP on defence. So you see what happens when it's late. I wonder if Europe doesn't need to increase its credibility when it comes to talking about defence and how much it's going to spend. It took some NATO allies 11 years to hit the 2% of GDP target laid down in Wales 2014, 11 years ago. And some big countries in Europe haven't even managed that. Spain is only spending 1.3% of GDP on defence. Italy, 1.5%. So doesn't, as Mark Rutte galvanises and the Americans make pressure and a new German chancellor, the NATO allies in Europe really have to send out signals that they're serious and they're going to do this 3.5%. Otherwise, I would suggest, Colonel, it's not a deterrent.
Well, I think your point about the Second World War is really sanguine, and that's what people need to absorb. You know, the fact that we had to spend 51%, 52% of GDP because we were at war. In that particular metric, 3.5% or 5% seems like pretty good value. But absolutely, you're bang on. I mean, Spain and some of the other countries who should be leaning into this absolutely aren't. I'm slightly refreshed that the Germans belatedly, and Frederick Merz, I understand, is with Trump today. I mean, the Germans have realized quite the position that they need to play. You know, 200 billion on euros on defense over the next 5 years is an extremely impressive figure. And we need people like the Germans to flex their military muscles because they're far closer to this problem than we are. You know, go to Poland, they're spending 4.2%.
They are indeed. I'm planning to go to 5%.
Absolutely. The Baltic states, they realize that they're, you know, they are manning their trenches now because they know that the Russian hordes, you know, are about 5 minutes from actually attacking them as well. So across the piece, we need to be unified. I absolutely agree with you. And hopefully, you know, even if it needs somebody like Hesketh to kick our particular bail here, hopefully it's enough to get everybody together to demonstrate. Because deterrence is all about convincing your enemy that you are serious and are going to do things. And up until now, I'm sure Putin's looked out of the Kremlin and has not been concerned about Europe. He now needs to look out of the Kremlin and think, crikey, yeah, they're serious. Now is the time to negotiate a ceasefire.
I fear you're right about Mr. Putin, but as you say, Chancellor Merz of Germany, the new chancellor, he's meeting President Trump. He's already vowed that he's going to build the biggest conventional army in Europe now. Let's hope he spells that out to Mr. Trump in the Oval Office and makes it clear that things are changing. Hamish de Breton-Gordon, thank you for joining us.